Luke chapter 4, verses 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Jesus is speaking, the Son of God, and Jesus says, "The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim or to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That was verse 19. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray, God, that you speak to us. We pray, God, that as we hear your word, Lord, we commit to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that as you speak to us, Holy Spirit, give us revelation, show us how we need or where we need to repent and what we need to fix so that we can leave your house, God, changed and not the same way we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is speaking here, and understand this. I put on the marquee sign. I'm not sure how many of you saw this, but we are to continue what Jesus started. And here Jesus is in the temple. He opens up the scrolls and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, preach restoration of sight to the blind, liberate those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he rolled it up, and then that was it. No, this continues to go on. How many of you were once blind by sin before and now you are found? You were in sin. You weren't a Christian. Now you are. Praise the Lord. All right. So that happened to you. It is still happening today. So what Jesus started, guess who God, and this is always amazing, but guess who God wants to continue what Jesus started? You and me. And it always amazes me. God wants this imperfect guy who is irritable at times. Shannon might want to say amen. Who's irritable at times. Who's difficult to live with. Who might complain every now and then. He wants me to share a perfect message of love to someone who is in great need of hearing it and seeing it. I'm not sure if you ever think about it. But how much do you share Jesus? By word or by deed? Think about it. At work, at home, in your neighborhood. How often do you do that? And right now, because I said that, how many of you feel led to say, "Lord, help me to share Jesus more"? See, because maybe some of you are thinking, "I'm good. I don't need to share any more of Jesus." Maybe you're still blinded in one eye, but you really need to understand that we need to surrender it all and always be willing to share Jesus, whether in word or in deed. Today, we're going to talk about the liberate those who are oppressed. The word oppression, slide one, please, Joe. The word oppression from dictionary.com, it's the exercise of authority or power in a burdensome, cruel, or unjust manner. The feeling of being heavily burdened, mentally or physically, by troubles, adverse conditions, anxiety, and etc. I found this little image and I thought, wow, that's cool. Oppression, unjust use of power to enforce an unequal relationship and deny another's rights or value. You see, when I think of oppression or people who are oppressed, I think of someone who is pressed from opposition or from an enemy, and they are being pressed on all sides. When you're not able to choose for yourself what to do, you don't have the freedom to do what you want to do. The Spirit of God will never press us or force us or to bring us to harm. God's love is so great toward us that God only wants what is best for us, and only He can give us that kind of best. It is His Spirit that leads us towards God's truth, towards God's will, towards God's plan. I'm hoping that you're discovering God's purpose for your life. When you think of people under physical oppression, do you think of people who live in third world countries, socialist countries, those who are sold into slavery, where their lives are being committed or being controlled by ruthless and wicked people? Maybe. Not sure how many of you have personally experienced some kind of oppression, that, you know, physical oppression, but we can all agree that it's real. This happens physically. There are people who are being oppressed. And Jesus can completely liberate them. He can completely liberate you. Maybe He's already done that. Praise God. His great love and example to demonstrate that love can and will set you free. How many of you can think back of when you were, maybe you weren't under oppression, but you were in some junk. You were in some nasty junk. And God delivered you from that and set you free because you believed in him. You believed in Jesus, God's son. You believed that God sent his son to die for you, and now you have eternal life. So today we are looking in scripture to continue what Jesus started. Now, let's go a couple of verses in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. See, because while Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, the beginning of chapter 4, Jesus entered the desert and he was tempted by Satan. Verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power. He left the desert. He beat up Satan. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He still had the Spirit of God in him. And news of him went out throughout the surrounding region. Everybody began to hear about Jesus. Why? Because he taught in their synagogues and glorified by God. So he was teaching. He was talking. So he came to Nazareth while he had been brought up. And he, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So notice it says, as his custom was. Listen, I'm not sure, but one of the things that, if you know this, but one of the things that we pray is that the people of Hidden Treasures would become faithful in church attendance, in prayer, and in studying of God's word. Why? Because we just want to control people? No, we don't want to control people. We didn't come up with the idea of coming to church, but if we're having church service, we want the people to be faithful in church attendance. Why? Well, because you're going to hear the word of God. You have the opportunity to change. You have the opportunity to bless someone. You have the opportunity to be a blessing to someone. You have the opportunity of creating relationships in the family of God here at Hidden Treasures. So we want people to be faithful in church attendance. Listen, we want people to be faithful in prayer, both corporate and personal prayer. Listen, you need to establish a personal prayer life. If not, that you're going to realize you're going to end up in some serious trouble one day. But you need to establish a strong personal prayer life. It's important that we learn to come together in corporate prayer. If you don't already know this, Tuesday night prayer, 6:30. There's a couple of people that have started to come that are coming more faithfully. Now, sometimes they work, but they're coming more faithfully. Maybe you can't come. That's fine. You know what I enjoy hearing about? When little small groups of people getting together for Bible study or even prayer. Listen, we can all say, well, I ain't got time. Thursday night, there are students sometimes, not every Thursday, but there are students that get together with young adults for a little Bible study. It might last an hour and a half. Listen, if you don't have an hour out of your time, out of 168 hours in a week, to meet with someone for coffee, and not just for coffee, although that's a good blessing, but coffee, but encouragement to pray or to read some scripture, to study. Hey, you know what? I was reading Proverbs chapter 4, verse 15 the other day. And you know what? God was showing me this. And you're blessing your other brother or sister by sharing that. Look, if you don't have an hour in 168 hours, you got too many things that are not necessary in your life. And if an hour is too much, all right, I'll shave off half an hour, 30 minutes. If you don't have 30 minutes to hook up with somebody out of 168 minutes, you got too many things going on your plate. You need to just let it go. But we are encouraging, and we want our church to be faithful in prayer, corporate and personal. And we want people to be faithful in studying God's word. Look, if you're not studying God's word, you're not going to show yourself approved. Hello, the word of God says that. Study his word to show yourself approved. So you can prove to yourself what God's word is saying so that I can live according to that. This is my food. This is what I need to eat. This is what I need to take in. And if I take this in, it's going to affect my attitude. It's going to affect the way I speak to people. It's going to affect how I respond to certain things. I saw on the internet a little image and it said, If you are allowing too many things to interrupt and affect your attitude, it means you need to pray some more. And I thought, yeah, that's about right. Because there are days that I think Shannon said this last year. Your perspective needs a little bit more of Jesus. What was that little plaque you put over the computer? About coffee and Jesus. Yeah, all I need is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. Some of you might need to pray that prayer sometime during the day. But listen, we ask that the church, and this is found on our church prayer list. So if you didn't know that, it's probably because you forgot or you never read our church prayer list. But we want people to be praying with us and agreeing this. But this is why Jesus, when he was in the temple, it was his custom. So everybody was hearing about him. Everybody was being impacted by him. That's why it went throughout the surrounding areas that people were talking about Jesus. In Luke chapter 3, verses 3, John the Baptist is preparing the way. He's telling people to repent. And this is interesting because the payment for our forgiveness hasn't been paid yet, but he's telling people to repent, follow God, and be baptized. It says in verse 3 of Luke 3, John the Baptist went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." You see, John the Baptist was going to prepare. And he was baptizing people. It was a public display of what was going on the inside of that person's heart. God, wash me. God, forgive me. I live for you now, God. Wash me. And so as John the Baptist baptized them, they came up out of the water. Now understand this, that what's being quoted is from Isaiah. And listen, it doesn't mention people. It mentions like scenery. It mentions a valley. It mentions mountains. And so I'm going to read this again. Make his path straight. Verse 5, every valley shall be filled. There are a lot of people who think they have a lot of things, but they're so empty. And only Jesus can fill them. I thought, Lord, that's good. That's good. Lord, I was a valley once. And Lord, there are times that I feel like a valley. Fill me with more of your love. Fill me with more of your spirit. Fill me with more of you, Jesus, so that I can share Jesus with others. Then it says, and mountain and hill brought low. How many of you thought you were all that? You walked like you did. You thought you were all that. And it had to come to a time where you were humbled, brought down. And you said, oh, God, what a wretched person I am. God, forgive me. God, forgive me of my sins. You humbled yourself. You were brought low. And then it says, the crooked places shall be made straight. How many of you were crooked? Now, in both terms, I mean, crooked kind of lie, but you were crooked. You stole, you cheated people. I mean, you were crooked. You were a crook. And Jesus made you straight. And the rough way smooth. I might need to ask some of your relatives, some of your friends, how rough were you when you're talking and you're joking and how you treated people? Oh, he was rough. Oh, yeah, she would tell you like it was. She would tell you straight up and down how she thought about you or what she thought about you. But now she's a different person. Why? Because Jesus has made her smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John the Baptist understood that he wasn't the light, but he was to be the one to tell everybody about the true light. Slide 2, Joe, please. What Jesus began, we are to continue. And I like this. Ephesians 3:7 on the bottom, it says, of this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. It is God's power that's going to work in me. That Luke 4:18 and 19, my life can be living in that. My life, you know what? If any of you look at that verse up there, everybody, matter of fact, everybody just turn your head and look up at the verse, look up at the wall. Your life needs to be doing that. Oh, that's a little hard, Pastor. I can't do all of that. Look, we're not trying to tell you got to do that today by 4 p.m. But you know what? If you're not doing any of that or half of that or maybe just one of that, shouldn't it provoke you to prayer? Oh, God, help me to preach the gospel more. Oh, God, help my eyes to be able to see the people who are blind so that I can tell them and restore their sight. We ought to be doing that. Why? That's what Jesus started. We are to continue what he started. That's still going on. And the church of Jesus Christ needs to be living that and doing that. So if you're looking at that and you're thinking, no, I'm not doing that one. I don't think I'm doing that. I don't even understand that. Then begin to pray and ask God, God, help me to understand what it means to liberate those who are oppressed. We're talking about that today. And there are people that you might know who have experienced physical oppression. They have been oppressed before. And we find here that Jesus is saying, this is what I'm doing. This is what the Spirit of God is doing. And we can look at that and say, God, you want to use me? And he's going to say, yes, God is able to anoint us and our words to liberate the oppressed. But I don't know what that means. Well, let's continue. That through God's words of truth, people may have the ability to be made free, free from oppression, sin, and guilt. Do you know what God has forgiven you of? Do you know the Jesus that the Bible talks about? And are you learning more of him? Because there are people who feel like they cannot be delivered and set free from the oppression that they've experienced, whether it be physical or spiritual. And we're going to go into spiritual in a little bit. They don't believe that they can find freedom. And you're sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute. I know Jesus. He can set anyone free. It's not by your method of terminology and words. It's not about your good looks. It's about the Spirit of God, and the same anointing that was on Jesus, that's still on Jesus, can be on you if you're willing to live that. There are Christians, they'll look at that and be like, that's someone else's job. That's someone else's. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm just going to, go in by the skin of my teeth. I'm good. I don't need to do that. That's, heal the brokenhearted. I don't want to deal with those people. It's going to take a lot of my time. It's going to take a lot of my energy. The Apostle Paul understood this kind of oppression, yet he was more eager to share Jesus to whomever would hear and wherever God would send him. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. And let's read that real quick. In Jesus' name. You see, when we think about Apostle Paul, he understands what oppression is. I mean, he was beaten up, dragged outside of a city, and left there to die. Talk about someone who experiences persecution and oppression. He knows what that means. Verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Hey, don't get stuck on yourselves. It's not you. It's the power of God in you and not you. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken by God. Cast down, it's all right. We're not destroyed. I mean, this guy is always thinking the glass is full. Glass might be empty. Like, no, it's full because I know my God. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in who? In our body. Notice it didn't say in someone else's body. No, in our body, the body of Christ, we need to display Jesus. He made so that he's manifested. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. I need to die so that people may see life in me. The life of Jesus. I need to die daily. Now that might sound weird, but you need to die to yourself and your selfish desires and wants so that people can see the very life of Jesus in you. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? The things that we have to deal with, Paul is saying, is minuscule to the impacts that it will have on all of you. Wow. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the eternal things. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you ever think or wonder, Lord, are you speaking to me? Are there people that you really want me to reach? If you don't care, or if you don't want to be used by God, then you're not going to hear him. You're not going to grow in godly character, and you're definitely not going to take into consideration delivering God's message of hope. That's one of our visions here. There are people who have allowed the abuses of long ago, maybe when you were a child, maybe when you were a teenager, to keep them in an oppressed state, and it's just mentally, or it's just spiritually, it's just in your head. You're not feeling any physical pressing. It's the pressing is coming from within, from things that have ever happened, from things that have happened, maybe even allowing Satan to press them with the guilt of something you've done. Jesus's desire is to set you free, and that's why it says, liberate those who are oppressed. People who are burdened because of physical experiences or even just spiritual and mental experiences. John chapter 8 verse 36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free maybe. No, you shall be free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed, another translation says. Aren't we free? Aren't we? I wonder if some of you, because some of you don't sound like it, but I wonder if some of you really believe that you're just halfway free. Listen, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have been set free, made free. You are now carrying the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that when God looks upon you, he sees a son, he sees a daughter in righteousness, the righteousness that only Jesus can provide. Let's go to slide 3. How many of you feel... he will finish what he started. I'm sorry, go to slide 4 also. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is doing a great work in you. I'm not sure how many of you feel, he can't do a good work in me. I just always mess things up. Can I encourage you, quit listening to the devil. Quit listening to the lies. Quit listening to guilt. Quit believing in the fact, or quit believing in the false that you cannot do anything, because really it's God working in you if you'll allow him. If you will allow God to do and to change and to shape you and to form you to becoming the person he created you to be. You see, when Jesus said that and when he started it, I believe that God saw you walking in that. And when God, if God is asked, can Jim do that? God will say, that's why I created Jim. So that he can do that. So that he can walk in that. And then place your name in that instead of Jim. He created you so that you can walk in that. I mean, Ephesians 2:10, I'm so amazed. He created me and he calls me his masterpiece. Oh, yeah. He's telling the truth. I'm his masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for good works that God had already ordained that I should walk in. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. So Paul understood what oppression felt like, and he was fixed on following Christ regardless. That what Jesus started, man, I got to continue to do this. It is the word of God and the anointing of God's Spirit in our lives that can restore sight to the blind and bring freedom, liberation to those who are oppressed. You know, in Revelation, I mentioned this Wednesday, Revelation 12 mentions that there is an enemy who is the accuser of the brethren. How many of you today are allowing this accuser to keep you feeling guilty, to keep you believing that you can't do anything for God? Well, you could do some things, but not all those great things. Stop believing. Stop listening to him. It is false. It is a bunch of lies. Slide 5. How many of you seriously and honestly feel like this? You are oppressed. And this is a picture of some guy at a beach. I guess he made this. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You feel that way. And maybe nothing physical happened to you, but it was emotional. Maybe growing up over and over, you'll never amount to anything. You worthless piece of trash. And you'll be just like your father. You'll be just like your mother. You'll never accomplish anything. And you just, and you're carrying that. You're not, you've never even stepped in the on the continent of a third world country. You've never even been under the leadership of a socialist a country, yet you feel the oppression because of what other people have said, and you feel pressed. You feel like you're being pressed. The dictionary.com says about depression. Depression is oppressing from within, is what I call it. But dictionary.com says someone who's experiencing sadness, gloom, or dejection. Psychiatry says that depression is a condition of general emotional dejection and withdrawal, a sadness greater and more prolonged than that warranted by any objective reason. A mood disorder characterized by an inability to experience pleasure, difficulty in concentrating, disturbance of sleep and appetite. Even in science terminology, depression is known as a geographic area such as a sinkhole or basin that is lower than its surroundings. You feel lower than everybody else around you. Probably because of what you physically experienced or what you experienced in your thoughts or it was mental, it's spiritual. You're being pressed. You're lower than everybody else. If you agree to allow this to overcome you or overtake you, you will not be able to grow in Christ because you're not holding on to nor believing nor walking in the truth of what Jesus has set you free from. Of what Jesus has delivered you from, of what Jesus provides, life and life more abundantly is what Scripture says. But you allow things. And you know what? Quit allowing the devil to overcome you. Jesus says that, hey, be of good cheer. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. So therefore, because Jesus is our Savior, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Amen? Go on the next slide, slide six. This one's pretty. Sin, sexual abuse, addiction, guilt, depression, Satan. And that's you. And you feel, listen, it ought to be the other way around. Satan is underneath our feet. Jesus has defeated sin, death, and the grave. I'm so glad about that song. It says that the grave could no longer hold our king. And Jesus makes us victorious. He makes us to walk in triumph, not underneath the soul of the devil. There's a word play there. Jesus overcame this world. John 16:33. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Some of you need that peace today. Some of you need to just, with your words, stop saying it in your head, but with your words, I will not believe the lies of the enemy any longer. I know that I have been set free by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of my testimony is this, that I am a child of God because I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my righteousness. He's my best friend. He is my Savior and my Lord, my supreme authority. Satan, I rebuke your lies and your wicked schemes and evil devices. I will not be afraid. I will not walk in guilt, but I will embrace the peace that only Jesus can give. He continues to say, in the world, you will have tribulations. We can see that Paul experienced many tribulations, but yet he still hold on to the gospel truth that he knows who God is. It says, in the world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. I mean, I'm not sure about you, but as I read, I'm like, I want to just, you know, flex my, you know, I mean, you know, if God is for us, who's against us? Verse 34 is, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Thank you, Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Talking about Jesus. He paid the price for us. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, nor oppression, whether it's physical or spiritual or mental in my head, what people have said to me over the years, nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Slide 7. Psalm 9:9-10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. If you are oppressed, if you're walking in guilt, if you're walking and thinking, man, I can never, you know what? I can never win anybody to Jesus. I can't be a witness. I can't this, I can't that. Begin to say, I rebuke you, Satan, your lies. You're just lying to me, and I'm not holding on to that any longer. I embrace the peace that Jesus gives me, and I know who I am. I am a child of the Most High God. And as we play this song, I encourage the church today to begin to speak.